what I learned at Miami was it was okay to explore rather than view it as a failure like you're quitting. But you were really given the opportunity to explore, see what resonated with you, and then move on.
Hi, everybody. David Schwab here. You're going to really like this conversation. Man, I learned something today. Joni Fetters, smart, great mind. What a fun personality. We started talking about coming through the farmland and showing up in Oxford and those buildings and just that campus. Man, there's something about that campus. Everybody you talk to, there's the unknown when you go through the farmlands to get there. She talks about that a lot, about risk-taking and learning to explore. I think it's a common trait for all of us that went to Miami because everybody's going to the unknown. Everybody has to go through the farmland. But she's now the president of Aileron. They support small businesses around the country. They're almost like an accelerator for small businesses. She gives great points. So come with me. Come with the journey. Let's go back to High Street with Joni.
Yeah, and I wish I could say that I selected Miami with a well-thought-out plan like most college kids do today, where they go on several visits and it starts your sophomore year. But I came out of a high school where probably more than half of the people didn't go to college. And I remember sitting in English class and this English teacher hands out a paper and says, you know, if you want college information, you know, put a little bubble there. And, we didn't have a lot of money. I just kind of circled some of the colleges, the state colleges. And I'd kind of heard of Miami, but not really. So I did it. I got a brochure in the email or in the mail. And it was just, it just spoke to me. So I kind of feel like Miami found me rather than I found Miami. My mom, I applied and I got in. And I remember my mom, she was a single mom, put us in a car and we drove 5 hours from Cleveland down to this campus where you drive through farmland and you get off the highway, you're in farming. And then all of a sudden up pops this place. And I just knew from the moment that I walked on there that it was just a, I didn't even go to any other school or look. It was sign me up and let's go.
It's funny. I think everyone has that same similar view because it doesn't matter if you're coming from Cleveland or Rockville, Maryland like me or anywhere. You still have to drive through those farmlands, whichever direction you're coming in before you get to school. And there probably is that moment of what's ahead. And then you're right. You pop up and you see the buildings and the Beta Bells and some of those red brick buildings. And you're like, whoa, this place is special.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also fascinating that 50% of your high school or, you know, whatever the percentage might have been actually was not or were not going to college. That seems like an incredible number.
Yeah, it was, I loved where I grew up. It was on the west side of Cleveland, the Lorain, Elyria area. And it was just one of those cities that I think, there wasn't as much college prep. There was some, but not as much. It wasn't as strong. It was much more of a, I don't know if you'd call it a working class environment, but there was a lot of other options, you know, as far as going into more of a tech trade and stuff like that. So,
And as an 18-year-old living in Oxford, Ohio, did you know then where you wanted to be in life, or were you like the majority, including myself, let's just go experience it and have fun and kind of see what happens and take a path from once I'm there?
Yeah, I think I was with the majority. I think I thought I knew what I wanted to do. I started in the education, early education world, and probably lasted there about 6 months and then wanted something more. And so I started pursuing, I was on the sports medicine staff and thought I maybe would want to do medical in some form. And I did that for 2 years and I learned a lot from that perspective. But then even through that, the paths were really go to doctor or go to through education, and those weren't speaking to me. So I started hanging out in the business school and really liked that. So yeah, I feel like it. Miami helped me explore, which path, but I had no idea what I was doing. or how I, you know, what I was going to end up with. And it was kind of scary. I think probably for most of us, you know, there's comfort in people saying, oh, I know I want to be a doctor. I want to be this. But I really didn't have any idea. And so you keep trying things until you figure it out, I guess.
Yeah.
No. I'm not sure when I graduated if I knew business was exactly what I wanted to do.
I think that's true for many. Was there a particular class or teacher at school that you remember, or something that, I mean, you talked about a couple years of medicine and there was some learning there. Anything that you've been able to keep throughout your professional career, or just even personal career in terms of having a family?
Yeah, I think what I didn't appreciate when I was there, and you read something where I said I really struggled in college, and that had nothing to do with Miami. It had to do with me. I don't think I was used to reaching out for resources and utilizing the resources that you had. So you felt like you had to do a lot of it on your own. So I would say I struggled because I didn't meet with professors, or I didn't go to the career counseling center or whatever. You kind of felt like you had to figure it out on your own. I think what it prepared me for was, if I look back now, my path has gone into more of the entrepreneurial bend, as far as I've owned a couple businesses myself. And then now I, you know, work as part of a team where we support small businesses across the country through a foundation. And what I now can tie back to is, what I was searching for was probably not a design career, like an engineer or a teacher, but I was looking for more of that entrepreneurial spirit, and saw that as I switched around. Now that they have the entrepreneurship, Institute of Entrepreneurship through Miami, and actually have the major and minor there, I bet if that would have been there, maybe I would have found my way to that. But I think I learned to take risks and to start things, and then realize if it wasn't for me, stop. I started as a sorority and stopped. I started in sports medicine and then stopped. So I think what I learned at Miami was, it was okay to explore rather than view it as a failure, like you're quitting. But you were really given the opportunity to explore, see what resonated with you, and then move on. And so I feel like that's kind of been carried through my career, and even in the culture that we have today is very much an experimentation culture environment.
Yeah, that's an enormous skill set to learn, and yeah, you're right. Where we live today, of just with the social platforms, the ability to experiment or trial or push something out and see what your audience or viewership or fans think, and then be able to adjust on the fly. So getting that skill set early in life, I think, is really important. And the risk taking is pretty interesting too. I think that's always, at least I felt personally, and from the people I talked to, I think even going to Miami for a lot of people was a risk, because again, it was in that farmland. It just didn't know what was there. It was kind of this unknown that just popped up. And so, I don't know, maybe it's in a little bit in each of us that there was this risk personality trait that we really didn't know until we got on campus.
Oh, absolutely. I think that probably is a very common trait, and I see it play out. You know, I've got three kids, and all of them went to Miami, so I've still got one there. He's a senior. And just watching them through their experiences of, you know, whether it be interviewing for something or trying out for something, or, I mean, there's a lot of creativity that's going on in that world as far as kids just trying new things. I mean, you started the podcast, right? It's, hey, let's try it. That's risk. Let's try it.
It's interesting with all three. What do you see from when you were a student to now a mom of three that are all or have been at Miami? Is there one thing that you're like, wow, this is profoundly different? Or is Miami the same, and just the opportunities, and because, again, of the ability to connect with everybody really at scale with social and technology, that it's just even faster and smarter?
Yeah, it feels like the environment is still that calming, beautiful place. I think there's so much, there's a lot of experiential learning that's really neat to hear as far as watching these kids go abroad. And, one of the things my son was looking at was literally a supply chain course over 2 weeks where you go to breweries and you literally understand how they procure, different pieces. And to me, that is fascinating and probably different. There was an opportunity to study abroad when we were there. However, it was not as ingrained in the curriculum, I think, or even experiential learning. I feel like I've seen, my son took a public speaking class online, and you go, what? When he first said that, I thought, I'm not spending money on that. But what was interesting was, as he took it, he actually learned how to use conference calls, web-based materials and stuff. And really what you could see was that was much more relevant to the workplace today than it is standing up in front of a big crowd. Mm-hmm. Not that they may not do that, but this is how we work. We work on the phone, you work on Zoom, you work on web calls, you're collaborating with virtual teams around the country. So it was really applicable. So that kind of stuff to me has been interesting to see that it is following some of what's more really, really relevant in the marketplace.
That makes a lot of sense. There's probably a generation or a gap of people that maybe 22 to 35 or maybe even older that had the public speaking and then missed the knowledge of where this world kind of went to, as you said, and didn't get that experience. I don't know, I'm thinking about it. Maybe it's all ages. Then almost at any level you could go back and do some learning as it relates to interacting from a web perspective versus how one communicates via email and how that's different than a group conference call. Just communications at the front of all of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the other gap that I, and I don't know if where your kids are at, but the other gap that I saw that I didn't even think about is, so most of the kids in high school use, Twitter, Instagram, Snap, that's how they communicate and that's how they do things. And then you enter into college where a lot of it's still based on email as far as the school communicating or the classes communicating. And then you go into work where there's email and they enter in without not a lot of skill around email. And it doesn't mean they maybe haven't touched a little bit, but it's just not, they've been texting, their coaches text, it's really fascinating to see that there's a gap there for the email. So then when you see new kids come into the workplace, they're not as strong as communicating with email. So the gap goes both ways as far as many of us who had public speaking and didn't get the experience of the collaboration on virtual tools, and then you've got this email gap. It's just kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah, I can see that now. I have three too. My oldest is in high school, and yeah, Instagram and Snap are the two places where they're communicating the most, and the text message that they're using is either through just one-to-one on Snap or one-to-one on Instagram too. So they are not using email that often. That's a good point. Maybe a class that high schools should create demand or be part of a curriculum too.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump forward. You talked about it earlier about owning a few businesses and now supporting small businesses around the country through the foundation. So tell me about Work Now, and then we can go back to some of those businesses that you owned at times.
Yeah, so I am part of an organization called Aileron, and it was started, I worked at the Iams Company for 5 years, which is a dog and cat food company, and absolutely loved it. I felt like at home there. It was an entrepreneurial company. We were growing and doubling our growth every 4 years, and it was just a crazy environment to be part of, where you worked really hard, you got to try things, create things. It had an incredible culture, and the owner of that organization had really worked, Clay Mattil. He really believed in focusing on the culture, and he also gave us a very strong vision and mission that people really rallied behind and believed in. And so I started experiencing what I call an entrepreneurial operating system, or a what we call professional management, that there is a disciplined way to grow an organization to allow it to scale and grow and still have that energy. After he sold that business to Procter & Gamble, he was passionate that a lot of entrepreneurs try to figure things out on their own. And he had a lot of mentors that kind of would, you know, set him straight and kind of kick him around a little bit and challenge him. And he learned that there is some strategies you can put in play, like managing your culture or developing people, putting, you know, evolving your business structure, that are really critical for a business to be able to scale and grow. And so he funded a nonprofit organization called Aileron. And our focus is, we've been around for 20 years, is to help businesses install those scalable processes that help them continue to scale and grow and thrive. Because it's pretty difficult to do. There's not, if you think about how many businesses are over 10 million, it's only like 0.4%. And then you think about the fabric of our country, and it's really based on, I mean, what, 60, 70% of our jobs kind of come out of companies under 100 people. So it's an incredible group of people to work with, these people that are always trying to grow their business, scale it, come up with new ideas. And so we are working with companies across the country to put those disciplines.
So is it almost like an accelerator or an incubator for existing small businesses? Could you look at it that way?
You absolutely could. Without the incubation from the standpoint of the space, sure. So we have an incredible space, a campus that I hope it takes your breath away from, just like a Miami does. But it's, so you don't live there, but you bring your teams, you connect with our business advisors. We have workshops or experiences where, as a team, you work through what your business model is, what your vision is. You can work on, you know, your leadership and through your conflicts. And you can do that either on campus or virtually with us. So yes, it's like an incubator without you living there.
And where is the campus?
So the campus is in Tip City, Ohio. So you have to think that maybe Miami reflected a little bit. You have to drive to Burnfield in order to get there. It literally was a farm before it became, we now have 114 acres and a 70,000 square foot campus that has a pond and a waterfall, and this beautiful space. And it's really designed to help you focus. I mean, I can't stop drawing the parallel between when you get on Miami's campus of how it just puts you in a different mindset. And that's kind of what Aileron's campus does too. And we hear it all the time. People go, gosh, just that long drive slowed me down. And when I get there, all of a sudden I take a breath and I realize that I need to be working on my business at a different level. It's to get you out of the rat race.
Yeah.
And, you know, working on what, okay, so you're serving customers today, but where are they going to buy from you in 5 years? And that's what you're thinking about. So it's, yeah, a lot of people have said it's the Disney World for entrepreneurs.
Well, I have to imagine the small business owners or the CFOs or COOs, and I imagine for some of these small businesses it's the same person, but to be in a setting or a campus with like-minded peers is really, really valuable. I think I see it all the time where clients want us to provide solutions for them, but equally they want us to connect them to others that may have the same challenges or even opportunities and hear how they think, to put them just in the peer mindset to help them for the future.
Absolutely. It's a huge way that people grow and develop. And you see that playing out in social media, right? Like the way a lot of people learn is by going out watching a YouTube video, and then they start chatting about it with somebody else that it resonates with, or you join a community on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever it is. And it is a true appreciation. I think many people appreciate learning from others in the space. We have a course for presidents we run once a month, and it's up to 25 business owners in a room of varying businesses, and for 2 days you work through where my business is from a cultural perspective and how we're developing people and what's our strategy, and you're actually working on the current state of your business, but you're doing that with 25 other business owners that are also trying to do the same thing. And the value is not just the framework and the discussion, but hearing what other business owners are doing. But I always hear when somebody's going in there, like, okay, so I'm a technology company and I'm sitting next to a law firm, a landscaping firm, and a large manufacturer. What are we going to, we don't have anything in common. And it doesn't take but 20 minutes to get in there. And this one guy stood up and he goes, oh my gosh, we have everything in common as far as maybe not the product we sell or the industry we play in, but the challenges of growing a business. There, I'm learning so much. So it really is wonderful to get that, those connections.
Is there a common thing you do from a habit every day, first for work or last for work?
That's an interesting question.
And as you think about it, I've asked that question in the last year to a number of people as I've been trying. I used to have a habit of setting, you know, the night before, setting up the day or trying to be structured, and then in the morning trying to learn something that had nothing to do with my work, but that just exposed my mind. And it's interesting in talking to some people where they are at 5:30 in the morning, they check their email, or they wake up at a different time, and then at night, different people would say, yes, I need to do this one last thing to my staff or to my COO, or no, it just changes and I kind of go on the fly. Just different people have different perspectives of that.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I've tried some different things. I don't know if you've heard of the Miracle Morning, but I've tried that recently where you wake up and you spend 10 minutes on meditation and 10 minutes and journaling and 10 minutes in visualization and stuff. And it's kind of an interesting structure, almost speaking to what you're saying is, can you, if you start your day off well in that mindset, it'll carry throughout the day. So, but if I think about what naturally comes to me, I have an hour drive to work, and I would have never thought about this until this question, but I think what that does is it starts my day with an hour of thinking. So I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to the news. I literally drive, and I come up with so many things. I'm usually calling people like, oh, did we think about this? Or it helps me reflect, maybe just to sit back and look out. I mean, of course, I take some phone calls sometimes or whatever, but I think a lot of it allows you that space to think. And think at a higher level. So that's probably how I start my day. It's thinking.
Wow. That felt like I was uptown, just sitting on a bench, having some bagel and deli with a good friend. She is really easy to talk to. And we didn't get into it in the pod, but I liked what she said, in a past article, I think in Huffington Post, failure doesn't define you, it refines you. That is so, so true. And her comments in the conversation about experiential learning, just getting your hands dirty. I think students can really learn from that. Employees, staff, executives can learn from that everywhere. I appreciate everyone coming along for this ride on Beyond High Street. Tweet me. Let me know what you think. Share some guest ideas. Really appreciate everyone's support. Thanks for listening. See you at Skippers.